Well, hey there. Welcome to the Prayer Podcast. I'm your host, Jan L. Burt, your fellow Jesus follower who very much wants to grow in my prayer life and encourage others in their prayer lives too. Here on the Prayer Podcast, we learn what the Bible has to say about prayer, and then we apply it by actually praying. It's my privilege to join you on this prayer journey. Now, let's get to praying. Welcome to this episode of the Prayer Podcast. I am your host, Jan Burt, and I'm so glad you're listening today. My prayer for this episode, for the whole show really, but for this episode in particular, is that you are encouraged and that you find yourself praying big, bold, brave prayers regularly. Not just praying, but receiving answers to your prayers, because prayer is asking and it is receiving. And sometimes we ask and we don't really recognize or even really know, believe, hope that we're going to get an answer. While it's true, we don't pray to a genie in a lamp. We don't. We're not just out here making wishes and getting what we want and then going on with our life. We pray to a God who sits enthroned above the heavens. It's also true that our God loves us, and he loves to hear our prayers, and he does indeed answer when we cry out to him. It's good to remember that. Don't just pray. Pray with the intention and the hope and the belief that you're going to obtain an answer. So let's jump right in. This is episode number 30. When I really consider what prayer is all about, I think, like, at its core, prayer has a lot to do with surrender. Maybe not our favorite word in the Christian community, that word surrender. Nevertheless, it's true. So when we surrender everything to the Lord in prayer, real transformation starts to happen. Like, for us, as we pray, as we surrender, and for others, those that we pray for. And in situations and circumstances, you know, we're going to see things begin to transform as a result of our prayers. So our praying matters. It makes an impact. It's not just a smoking and joking. It really is important, the praying that we do for us and for others and for God's glory. So we're surrendering, we're praying, we're seeing things begin to transform and change for people, in situations, in circumstances. Transformation happens as a result of prayer. A prayer of surrender is, well, it should be anyway, what we did at salvation. We surrendered. I give, Uncle, I surrender all is not just a song, an altar call song. It's what we should do when we yield to Jesus. We made a trade. Jesus' life for my life, a total surrender to the Lord. The surrender is he took the punishment for my sin and I obtained the blessing, like, and then he gets my life. That's a really good trade. So it does make sense that our prayer lives would also involve surrendering, a lot of surrendering, if I'm honest. Like, we surrender our expectations in prayer. We surrender our hurts and our fears and our disappointments and pain. Sometimes we even surrender our hopes and dreams in prayer. Surrendering to the Lord's best for us. That doesn't mean we are, you know, just we self-haters and every dream must die and all my dreams are bad. And no, it means we surrender to the Lord and his best. Mountains move when we surrender in prayer. So where I live, which is in America, I'm sure you can tell by my accent, I know that not all of my listeners live in America. So I'm making sure that I acknowledge that things in America are different than other places in the world. Honestly, things here, they're not great as of late. I'm not super proud of the country that I live in. I have very little of the American dream way of thinking in my life anymore as compared to when I was a little girl in the 70s. Like, and you know what? That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. I've surrendered that being an American is not necessarily a good thing. But in the Christian world that I've been a part of, in real life, not in the online space, I'm talking about in real life, there has been in the past a sense of taking our American lifestyle, our culture and such, and applying it to the way that we pray. Especially, I think I saw a lot of that in the 90s and early 2000s. So when I read what Jesus said about prayer, and I kind of contrast it with that Americanized version of just like lacquering and shellacking over what the Bible says, what our culture says, when I read it with kind of fresh eyes, if you will, not just like this is my daily reading plan, I'm checking it off and I'm moving on. No, but really reading it, and I read it to understand what Jesus was saying about this subject. That American way of thinking, I have to set it aside. I don't have any other actual option other than to just take it and set it aside. It can be super shocking to realize how much we, and by we, I mean the people in the church, how much we have changed prayer into something else. You know, into something else. Like how, say, we can be so polite in our praying, thinking that somehow our politeness honors God, that somehow politeness is the same as meekness. It's not. Meekness is power under control. Being polite is not being meek. Thinking that God's honored if we're just super polite. And it's like, there's a sense that I grew up with that it's disrespectful to God to not be ultra polite as we pray. But is that what we find when we read our Bibles, when we open it up and see in the New Testament, hey, what did Jesus teach on prayer? No, not so much. I don't find this kind of unspoken, unwritten rule to be polite. Maybe I don't even find it at all. As I read it, the New Testament encourages bold praying, not holding back. You know, sometimes we hold back because we don't want to be impolite. But when we apply that to our prayer life, and this is what I meant when I was talking about applying our culture here in the States to our Christian life, we don't like to mix impolite behavior with our church life. Anybody else know what I am talking about? Okay, so that's more cultural. That's rooted in how we were raised more than it's rooted in the pages of our Bibles. So a few passages in the Bible that will stretch us in our praying, and I think they really will stretch us in our praying. I think they're worth looking at. So I'm gonna let you know what a few of these passages are. There are more. This is just a few that are going to stretch you in your praying, challenge you in the way that you think about prayer. Maybe not even like that you're aware of, like you just think this way and you didn't even realize you thought this way. Read the Sermon on the Mount. That's Matthew 5, 6, and 7, those three chapters. Read Psalm 91. Read Psalm 63. In Luke, there are two chapters you can read, chapters 11 and chapter 18. These are great passages to kind of wake us up, throw cold water in our face, and get us to look in the mirror and say, am I praying the way the Bible leads me to pray? And has my culture influenced the way that I think about prayer and the way I approach God? But today I want to share just one particular verse with you that has impacted my faith greatly as it relates to my prayer life. Zechariah 9:12 from the Old Testament, it says this, "Come back to the place of safety, all you prisoners who still have hope. I promise this very day that I will repay you two blessings for each of your troubles." Okay, now of course this was a specific promise for the Israelites during a time of exile. But, you know, per the New Testament, we know that all God's promises are yes and amen through Christ Jesus our Lord. I read that in 2 Corinthians 1:20. All God's promises are yes and amen through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so promises that we find even in the Old Testament, they're yes and amen through Jesus. That verse from Zechariah has challenged me. Do I really believe that God, who is the same yesterday and today and forever, according to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, that God is willing to give me two blessings for each one of my troubles? And do I pray about my troubles as if I actually believe that? And when I do pray, like I believe that God is who he says he is and that he does everything he says he'll do, what happens? I'll tell you what happens. I end up praying big, bold prayers. So see, our culture and what we think has to be filtered through the lens of the Word of God, and then we have to make changes even to the way that we pray and our expectation and the way we think about God and how he's going to lovingly answer us. That all needs to shift back to what the Bible says is true about God and shift away from our cultural mores and preferences, and especially that mentality of don't be impolite toward the Lord, because impolite is not in the Bible. But I tell you what is in the Bible, not revering his holiness. Now, I don't want to get that all tangled up and mixed up in this. You need to revere God. We don't boss him. You're going to boss me today. I'm not bossing you today, Lord. I'm not bossing you today ever. But I am going to come boldly before your throne of grace, as it says in Hebrews chapter 4, to find the help and mercy that I need at my point of need. In my time of need, I am to come boldly to him. Prayer is asking and prayer is receiving. Let's remember that when we go to our prayer closets. It's not just the asking, it's also about the receiving. And it's not just receiving answers, but receiving everything the Lord wants us to have. He has so much for you. The abundant life Jesus promised doesn't just come with an answered prayer here and there. It doesn't even come with every single prayer receiving an answer, which I believe God does answer all of our prayers. I think it's about receiving everything that He has for us, everything He's promised for us, abundant life. That's all encompassing. That's not just abundant prayer life. Prayer is also enjoying being in God's presence. It's a time when we can worship and praise Him, be grateful to Him and glorify Him. We can receive His comfort and His love. It's an opportunity daily to be still and not just be on the go, 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 go. It's a time for peace. It should be a peaceful time, a time that we set apart to get apart with our God. Okay, now let me go into that a little bit more. It's a time for peace. That doesn't mean that you have to be at peace before you enter your prayer time. It means by the time you wrap up your praying, you should have rolled your burdens onto the Lord, as it says in, is it 1 Peter? I believe it's 1 Peter. It's one of the Peters, one of Peter's letters. Roll your burdens onto the Lord because He cares for you. I think it's 1 Peter 5:7. Look, peace is a part of your transactional prayer time with the Lord because it's a relationship and He has the peace to give you, the peace that passes all understanding. You don't have to muster it up on your own. So come with your angst and your frustrations and your anxieties, but leave with His peace. And remember that setting apart time for the Lord to get apart with God, that's one of your gifts as a child of God. Don't neglect that, because the blessing you get and the honor He gets as a result, that's critical to living a life as a true disciple of Jesus. Like, I mean, an all-in disciple of the Lord Jesus. Enjoy being at peace in His presence. Enjoy that peace that comes with His presence. Lay down your burdens. Pick up the peace that Jesus promised. And, you know, we have been looking at the book of James here on the Prayer Podcast, and this is kind of a break from that, just to really focus on what prayer is, because it doesn't hurt to pause now and then and just say, hey, just what, rather than just praying based on Bible verses, let's study what the Bible teaches us about prayer, and let's make sure we are praying accordingly. Prayer is vital. I think we all can acknowledge that. Prayer is vital. It's a vital part of our life as followers of Jesus, followers of Jesus. We follow Him. He doesn't follow us. It anchors us to Him. If we're praying to Him, we're much more connected and anchored to Him. We don't want to neglect that. We want to be doing things that matter for eternity. Ding, 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 ding. Prayer matters for eternity. So it's one of the things we want to be doing. It's so much more than something that we check off during our daily quiet time. The Lord really does want to hear from you. He really does. God the Father wants to hear from you in prayer. And you can go to Him and expect Him to hear and to answer. So make a bit of room in your life to sit quietly before Him. And then ask Him for what you need in the name of Jesus. And trust the Holy Spirit to lead you forward with guidance and counsel and protection and wisdom and favor and blessing and clarity. And based on what Jesus said in John 15 about sending the Holy Spirit to be with us, we can expect all of those things to be true at the Holy Spirit's leading and blessing and guiding and protecting and giving us wisdom and favor and blessing, because Jesus said that's basically who He is. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but read John 15 and you'll find the verses I'm talking about. And today, I'm going to pray for you based on kind of this little look at what prayer is. Remember, it's foundational. What we believe about prayer is foundational to how we pray. So let's build that foundation on the rock solid Word of God. Father, I'm coming to you today on behalf of the one listening now. May they step out in faith in their prayer time and ask for things that are weighing on them. Bring those things to you and receive your peace in exchange. Lord, would you take the burden from them and give them your peace instead? Move in answer to their prayers, and then help them to pray even more boldly. Show them your love. Show them your compassion. Watch over them. Protect them. Open doors for them. And also, Lord, shut doors that are not your best for them. Meet them right where they are at this very moment, but don't leave them there if they're in a hard place, a bad place in life. Move them forward. Move them on with you, but do it with great care and with great love. Remember that we, your people, are but dust. You remember how we are made, it says in Psalm 103, so treat us gently, even as you respond to our prayers. Do your will in their lives. and shower them with your grace. Cover them with your mercy, wrap them in your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'll see you back here next time. Bye-bye. And make sure that you keep on praying. Thanks so much for joining me today on the Prayer Podcast. It's a blessing to read what the Bible says about prayer and then to be able to pray with you. Remember to always pray and never give up. See you back here next time.